Let's bring in our first guest. You can read his work on knbr.com. Let's welcome in Mark Sanchez. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Doing well. I'm pumped for a pretty exciting day of baseball.
Yeah.
How are you?
See, we're doing great. Marty and I are excited, too, and it's always great to get down to the
finish line. Are you awake, Mark? Are you awake yet?
It's really that I didn't go to sleep, so I'm still up, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Well, Mark, you know, yesterday in the postgame show, Mr. Gabe Kapler sounded like he got a little upset. He was fired up a little bit. He was upset the way the Giants played. Tell the viewers and what you heard.
Yeah, that was a Gabe Kapler like we've never seen before, at least in San Francisco. I mean, he looked like him, and he was wearing the uniform, but that was not the Gabe Kapler that we've seen really since February in spring training 1.0. He always talks about good at-bats, and the guy will come through 0-for-4, and he'll be praising him, saying, you know, we like the way that he was looking at pitches up there. And it's always been process over results, and that's sort of how this regime has been defined with him. And yesterday, that was no longer the case. He was pretty fired up. He said, we have to win tomorrow, which is words that he does not use. You know, must-win game is not really in his vocabulary, although today is as must-win as you can possibly get. And, you know, he said, we have to win tomorrow. Everyone is frustrated. I really wish we could have gotten a glimpse into the clubhouse yesterday, but that's just no longer an option this year. But yeah, he was saying we really need to win, and that is not a Gabe Kapler. I didn't know that those words existed in his vocabulary until yesterday. So maybe that's how he's trying to fire up the troops, and maybe that's not what he's been doing so far, because he's been sort of letting them get fired up on their own. They know what's at stake here, but he's trying something else at least. So we'll see how it works out.
Well, this is where you need a good clubhouse. This is where you need Crawford and Belt and Longoria to step up and explain to Dubon. Dickerson, I think his head is on pretty straight, and Stremski as well, and even Joey Bart behind the plate. And, you know, don't get the slumping shoulders. You know, this is a game we got to go out and play good baseball. I rely on the veterans today, to tell you the truth, and not Gabe Kapler. Gabe Kapler's got a long way to go to learn how to manage in a big game. This is a big game. I think he needs his veterans today.
Absolutely. It is interesting, the veterans who are left here on the team, because they're all sort of lead by example guys, where, you know, even though you look at a leader like Mike Yastrzemski, who's not the veteran that the other guys are, but he's not the most talkative. Neither is Belt, neither is Crawford. You know, this team has lost Hunter Pence. It's lost Pablo Sandoval. Those were two guys who, at the beginning of the year, when they were struggling, guys like Mauricio Dubon pointed to them and said, these are guys who've, you know, given me good advice and, you know, sort of kept my head on straight. Right now, it's sort of a clubhouse of more quieter guys who sort of do the job well, but sort of lead by example rather than lead by rah-rah speeches. So I do think that at this point, they trust that everyone knows what's at stake. And yeah, I do wonder if someone pulled Mauricio aside, but at the same time, Mauricio knew what he did wrong yesterday.
We're speaking to Mark Sanchez from KNBR.com on Talking Baseball this morning. Let's stay on that Dubon point, too, Mark. First time I really heard Kapler really single out somebody. He said that it was a really bad baseball play, Mauricio Dubon trying to steal third base. And he was upset about it. He just said that can't happen. And especially when you're down to the last few games, those decisions shouldn't be made unless you're 100% sure you're going to steal that bag. And, of course, he's a rookie. There's no doubt about it. And he has free reign of stealing when he wants to. Your thoughts on why he did it at the time of the game when they first and second one out? What did you think at that time?
Yeah, it's tough for me to enter his brain at that point, because there's just really no excuse. If you've been following the way the Giants play baseball all year, it's try to get a couple base runners, draw some walks, and then bring a guy like Yastrzemski, bring a guy like Dickerson up, who was on deck, you know, against the righty where they can do some damage. You can get an extra base hit. You can hit one over the wall. That's how you get the big three-run home runs that they've had more this year than in past years. And, you know, he's a young guy. He's an excitable guy. He very much wants to fire up the team. He very much wants to help in any way he possibly can, which is a nice problem to have, ideally. You know, you'd rather have someone too excited than the other way around. But he has to know he can't try to steal that bag yesterday. You know, I think he thought, I'll try to fire up the guys. Manny Machado was sort of off third. He saw an opportunity. You know, he's sliding right into a base right by the Giants dugout. So he's really going to probably look at them afterward after that successful steal and get a lot of energy going for a club that didn't have a run at that point. And so you get it from that angle, but you can't take the bat out of Yastrzemski's hand at that point. You know, the Giants exist and have thrived on big innings and not scratching one run across where the risk-reward just didn't make any sense there. And you're right that Kapler was pretty brutally honest in a way that we haven't really seen him much this year, saying you have to be smarter than that.
Well, they created something. I mean, they made him a center fielder. He's a kid. He's from the Bay Area. He's the first player from Honduras. They've created a very young, aggressive player, which is terrific. It's a great part of him, but they've created this. And now they've got to mentor him. And that's part of development. Look, it's part of Joey Bart's development and this kid's development. They've never been in a situation like this before. And, you know, Angel Pagan's not doing this. You know, so this is, you know, Denard Span wouldn't do it. You have to be in the big leagues for a while to figure it out. But so I'll let him go and just say that's development. That's the way his development's going. And that's the way you got to put up with that. And it's a big mistake. But you're only as good as today's starting pitcher, and that's the momentum. Giants in Game 6 in Kansas City got walloped and a big shutout, and they came back. And, of course, Bumgarner came in the middle of that game and turned it around. Today they go with Drew Smyly. And, Mark, I look at the numbers for him. Lefties 2 for 29. Righties 15 for 53. He's just really thrown the ball so well in September. I think they got their best guy going today, and I think this will be another test to see how long you go with him, and I don't think that's going to be a problem. I think he's going to go out there and throw a great game today.
I fully agree with that. They haven't lost a start of his all year, which, to be fair, is not that many appearances because he was injured, but he's been really as good as they've gotten when he's been healthy. And since he's come off the IL, he's been throwing harder than he ever has, not just this year, but in his life, which is rare for, you know, I think a 31-year-old. This is who they want on the mound in their biggest game. I think he might have surpassed Gausman, and still we're going to see Gausman, I suspect, at some point, because he is all hands on deck, and he's ready, and Logan Webb's ready, and they did not have to use some of the big guys yesterday in the bullpen, so they're going to have as many options as Gabe Kapler could want, which also might mean, you know, if they do sneak in, I'm curious what their pitching rotation would look like if they have to use Smyly and Gausman today, because then is Tyler Anderson your game one starter? Although that's obviously a good problem to have and one they would gladly sign up for right now. But yeah, I think, you know, with Smiley's fastball that's suddenly 95 with a curveball that's been pretty unhittable since he's come back, that's who they want on the mound today.
Mark, looking on the San Diego Padres side, they really don't have anything to fight for here. You might see the starters play a couple innings and then bring everybody into the bench, and it is a bullpen game for the Padres, but you know, somehow, some way, they want to put some runs on the board and fire up the troops for their start of their playoffs. What do you see with the Padres going into this final game, and your thoughts on a bullpen game by them?
Yeah, it's funny because Kapler used all hands on deck, you know, suggesting they're going to really empty the reserves to go all out here. And I think it's sort of not the same principle, but the same case for the Padres, where they're going to use everyone, but more just to make sure no one gets hurt. I think this sets up very nicely for the Giants. And look, the Padres are deep and they're good. And even if they're throwing a different reliever each inning, their bullpen is very good. So it's not, you know, you can't game plan for a starter and then you get to him in the fifth or the sixth, which the Giants have done pretty often this year. So it's not the easiest task. You would ideally want a shallower bullpen to go up against. But at the same time, I feel very good about the Giants' chances because it means everything to them and it means nothing to the Padres. I think I mean, you can't sign up for wins in baseball, but I very much like their chances, and I think that, you know, most of the interest will be over in the Milwaukee-St. Louis game today.
Well, Mark Sanchez, thank you so much for getting up early in the morning for Marty and I and talking baseball, and we're going to see what translates here as the first pitch is thrown about 12:05, and from there on, we watch and listen. That's about it.
All right, Mark, have a good day. This will be a lot of fun to see where this thing goes. You're right, Brett Anderson, Austin Gomber. Who would have thought we'd be talking about those two guys today?
Speaking as all fans and all listeners right now, I just wanted to thank both of you guys for entertaining us, not just when there was baseball, but when there wasn't baseball. Guys, thank you so much.
Right, you've been terrific, Mark. Do we give him an award, Bill? Usually I have Rookie of the Year, but this is his second year. We'll give you Sophomore of the Year, Mark Sanchez.
Sure.
How about that?
We'll give him any kind of word he wants. Marty's been great.
Sophomore of the Year. Alex Pavlovich was Sophomore of the Year. Kerry Crowley. Mark Sanchez, you are Sophomore of the Year.
Woohoo!
Just being mentioned with those names, it's an honor. Thank you, Marty.
Okay. All right, take care. Love All you. Right. Take care. All
right. That was good, Marty. I like that. We'd like to give awards out on the last day.
Yeah,
Marty.
No, he's upped his game. He's been terrific all year long. Yeah, Bill, we're going to take a break. The professor's ready.
We're ready.
We'll get the third base coach, and I'm sure we've got a couple of questions for him. We'll do that when we come back right after this.